The great Vince Lombardi, after some particularly poor play of the historic Green Bay Packers, came into the locker room and he held up a football. Now, these professional men who had given their lives and every ounce of energy and time to the pursuit of football hadn't done so well. And you guys know, most of you, the historic story that says, as he held up that football, he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And from then, he went on to re-acclimate and focus their attention on the fundamental elements of the game. "Gentlemen, this is huddle." Where life's game plan unfolds, our purpose, let me remind you, is to grow and encourage you in Jesus Christ and to help each of us make Him known in our own communities, this community and your individual community. Our goals are simple: to engage men in the study of God's Word, to make known God's plan of salvation, to provide a safe environment for men to discuss spiritual matters, and to equip and encourage each of us to apply Christian teachings to our lives. Our playbook is the Bible. Our hero is Jesus Christ. Our passion is to finish well. And when we fall down into an unrighteous life, we get back up. For the righteous man falls 7 times and yet rises again, but the wicked man is ruined in the day of calamity. We are not perfect men, but we desire to be forgiven men and forgiving men. We invite you weekly from 12:10 to 12:30 to hear a talk given by a different speaker each week. And then from 12:30 to 12:50, we discuss around these tables what each of us is bringing to the table. Our walk, our warfares, our battles, our beliefs that God is above all and in all and really through all to accomplish what He wants in my life and in yours. There are table leaders, co-table leaders at each of these tables who really, in my opinion, are the heart of huddle. What is accomplished here in this first few minutes is to be a springboard for the discussion. For if we're not engaging in one another's lives, we miss the fundamental element of what both this life is supposed to be about and all of eternity will be about. And that is a real sense of community centered on the living Christ, who alone is worthy of your best and brightest energy. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that we get cumbered about, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things that have choked the Word in our lives over the years, they will be dropped away, and what will be added to us is a life of meaning and purpose that will make a profound difference not only on this generation, but thousands to come. The decisions that you and I as men are making today make a difference not only in our own children's lives, but in the children of this community and those who will come after us who will long forget our names. But they will not forget our commitment to the God of the Bible who is and was and will forever be, and who they must know and learn to know. And that's why we're here." I invite you to be knowledgeable of those table leaders around you. So I'd like all the table leaders and co-leaders or co-table leaders to stand where you are, if you would, please, guys. Okay? These guys, thank you, are here to encourage you. Like all of us, whether we're standing up here or we're sitting out there, we're fellow travelers on this journey of following God. As I mentioned earlier, we're not perfect men, but desire to point to a perfect Savior. This fall, we're going to look at a young man, two young men, one Timothy, the other Titus. Timothy particularly was a man who had a grandmother and a mother who were godly. But his father, as best we understand, was an ungodly man. It's not uncommon in a lot of our lives. Godly mothers and grandmothers who have influenced us. But what we believe, the Bible teaches, and what each of us knows down deep within our soul, and what Huddle is really to be about, is to create an atmosphere where it's cool to be godly. Where we understand the great benefit that comes by following a holy and a righteous life. Well, we understand the benefits and the rewards to communities when men stand up and be the men that they ought to be in their homes and their families, in their relationships with each other. Where we stand up and make things right that have gone wrong, both individually and corporately. Well, Timothy was influenced by this guy named Paul. Now, most of you may be familiar with him, but Paul was earlier a guy named Saul, who was heading a different direction. In fact, he was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting those early followers. But somewhere along the line, in Acts chapter 9, it records his story that Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Maybe today, for somebody here, this is your road to Damascus experience. Maybe you've been wandering your own way. But let me tell you, the hard attitude of what we're about is helping you see the light of Jesus Christ. We don't want you to be distracted by who else is here that you think shouldn't be here. Did you hear me? That thought that came to you that said, "What's that guy doing here?" What we need to be about is the central nature of who Christ is. This cross. And when we got our eyes on this cross, we're not going to get distracted by what each of us aren't. We're going to stay focused on who Jesus is. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Saul, on that road to Damascus, met Jesus. But you know, unbelievably so, the early church wasn't really that excited about accepting him. You see, a few weeks earlier, he'd been persecuting and killing people. In fact, at Stephen, the first martyr, he was standing there holding their coats when they killed him. They stoned him for his commitment to Christ. But Paul understood, or Saul understood, that God was going to make a way. All he knew is he got to get to Jesus. And then, God sent along a guy named Barnabas. Not a whole lot said about Barnabas in his life, but in the passages there on your sheet that I left for you, I want you to notice what this passage says. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 says this, "And when he, Saul," and I put later to become Paul, "had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him. And they did not believe that he was a disciple." Boy, I'd hate to know how many times I've been guilty of that. Not sure that guy's quite right. Not sure he's really as serious about it as he should be. I love the old story about the two ladies who were sitting around talking about another lady who wasn't near as focused on Jesus as they thought she should be. And the old boy sitting off in the corner that was listening to all this godly talk going on said, "Listen, ladies, ain't neither of you crowding Jesus any." But there we find Barnabas. Watch what happens. Barnabas, whose actual names mean son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord. Gentlemen, what makes the ground at the cross level is that Jesus is lifted up. Clearly, simply, consistently. That's what makes Huddle of any value. If it ceases to exalt Jesus Christ, it just becomes an organization. You can get to get together with any group of men for any purpose or reason. And that's okay. But the purpose of Huddle is to encourage you in your walk with God so that you're the men you ought to be in your homes, men you ought to be with your relationships, that we're the men we ought to be in our churches, that we're men we ought to be in our jobs, that we're men we ought to be in this community, that we're committed to this one fundamental truth. Well, thankfully, there's this Barnabas who comes along and he ministers. As Paul grew, he later became this one who really superseded Barnabas' role in his life. Barnabas played this early role, but later on it keeps saying Barnabas and Saul. And then in chapter 12 it switches the order. It says Paul and Barnabas. Then by the time they got to Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas had a falling out over encouragement. Paul wasn't one that was really much one to come alongside and encourage everybody and pat him on the head. He said, "You're either with me or against me. If you're not with me, then get away from me." But Barnabas, God bless him, he had to play a role in the church. And so by the time they got to Acts chapter 15, the scripture says at the end of there arose such a sharp disagreement among them that they separated. Sometimes that does happen. I believe God multiplied the ministry and used even their whatever it was that was between them to accomplish a greater purpose. You see, because one of the things that happens to us is when we get something good, we just want to stamp it and make it happen all the time. And one of the things that we prayed about as a group this year, we've got to continue to help Huddle reach out. It's not enough to just say, "Oh, that's great to come on Wednesday, and that's all nice, and for us to have a mutual bless me club, where we come around and pat one another on the back all the time." That's all fine and good. But we've got to continue to realize this is an opportunity to cheerlead one another for 50 minutes a week. So that we'll go back into the places that maybe don't have this atmosphere and be the salt and the light in the world that we live in to be what we ought to be. And every one of us have that place of influence. So Paul, later on, finds this young man, Timothy. 1 Timothy 1 tells that story. It says this: "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith." Maybe you suggest these things. Number one, everybody needs to be a Barnabas in somebody else's life. There's somebody in your life right now. You can probably put a picture of them right in your head right now. You can probably write their name down in the top corner who needs you to come alongside of them right where they are. Maybe they're not yet ready to be a Christ follower. Maybe they're not ready to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. And all they know is that you're real and authentic and you desire and care about them. Whether or not they come to Jesus or not, you're going to love them right where they are. Somebody, all of us, need a Barnabas in our lives to accept us right where we are. But God's going to use that, and also every one of you, I would contend, is a Paul. Every one of you has a sphere of influence and relationship where somebody's looking up to you as your leader. They're looking to you for direction. They're watching every move that you make. They're just determining how you talk and the way that you respond and how you are treating your family and all of those things they're observing in your life. And in your world, somebody is looking to you as their Paul. And the third thing is, all of us are Timothys. We're all learners. I thank God for a series of men in my life, and we were just praying together with Pastor Paul, and he said that all the people that have influenced my life. I remember one. I was a 12-year-old boy, a man named Rayburn Hare. He was a semi-professional baseball player. That was the closest thing I'd ever been to a professional baseball player. I thought that was pretty cool. He took me out for an ice cream cone and took an interest in my life, and he challenged me with one question: "John, where are you in your relationship with God?" He was 19 or 20 years old. He began to influence my life. I looked up to him. I thought he had it all together. And he made a profound influence in my life. To this day, I have no idea where Rayburn Hare is. I don't have a Facebook account. But I know this. Rayburn Hare influenced me for where I am today. I was his Timothy. He was maybe a Barnabas in my life, or I was looking to him as a Paul. I hope and pray that over the time in my own life that I've come alongside other men along the way and been a voice of encouragement that just kind of said, hey man, I'm trying to encourage you to go the right way towards God. Or maybe even to have been a Paul where I instruct and help and teach and train by my life and attitude and response. And then also that we continue to look for Timothy's. Guys, there's so many ways for us to continue to do that. But we have to do and be three things. We've got to be men of character. We've got to be concerned about the growth and development of others. And we've got to find a way to consistently invest in other people. You're here today, I believe, because you want to be a man of character. You wouldn't have come. I hope you'll come back. If you're a first-time guest, we're glad you're here. We don't want you to feel uncomfortable. We want to feel comfortable, but we're going to make you feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense? We want you're glad you're here, but we want you to leave away with a little prick in your soul that says, man, I've got to change. We want you to feel accepted and loved so that you'll go out and be different. We're concerned about that. We also have those Pauls in our lives that we look up to. For many of us who knew Jim Jacobs, he was that for us in a lot of ways. Jim was one of the founders of Huddle and has gone on to be with the Lord. The amazing thing that I thought about Jim and even in our own mortality was this. If you take a pail of water and you stick your fist in it and you take it out, not very long for the water to fill back in, is it? But I think about Jim Jacobs and his fist in the pail of water called Huddle. And he brought a few other men to say, hey man, put your fist in this pail of water. And when Jim was gone, while the water filled around where he was, there were some other men who were left behind to continue to fill the pail. My brother's mentoring is continuing to invest in one another, in encouragement as a Barnabas, in instruction as a Paul, in a leader of a Timothy. I challenge each of you, how are you working those truths out in your own life? How has God impacted you? And how does He want you to impact your world for Jesus Christ? Our Father, we pray that this time today, as we talk about the powerful influences that You've placed around us, that Lord, You would work the work that only You can work in each of our lives. Oh God, help us. Help these table discussions where we talk, we share, where I trust and confidence believe that, God, You care about our needs and we need a band of brothers to lock arms with us to help us. Oh God, use Huddle. Not as an end in itself, but so that we can get out on the field and let Your life game plan unfold. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.